several scriptures.
I realize, oh, I don't remember the town I'm going, I don't anticipate walking to the moment. But Psalm 34
and verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Father in heaven, may your spirit be the one that teaches us this night and enables us to be more like Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. Taste and see that the Lord is good. God is good. God is so good, he cannot be anything else. Okay? God is good in his provisions to us. There may be times where we think that he perhaps ought to give us more, but God is good in what provisions he gives us. God is good in his protection to us. God is good in his guidance. Again, there may be times as we pray for the Lord's leading that we feel he ought to be leading in, you know, more forcefully or leading in a different way than he is. But the fact of the matter is, taste and see that the Lord is good. And he's good in guidance. He's good in withholding. Now, that's not withholding like an income tax. Okay, but there's times, there's things that God doesn't give us. Things that we'd like. There may be things that we even feel we need. There may be things that we actually need. But God is good in withholding. Because he has ultimate plans that exceed our understandings. You see, his ways are past finding out. God is good in chastening. Now, the chastenings of the Lord don't seem to be of any benefit for the present time, but in the long run, Amen. They are good. And God is good in his judgments. When he judges us, he is good. Now, when I say judgment, we usually think negatively, don't we? But you know, God can give judgment and it's positive. If God judges us faithful, then he blesses us. That's a positive thing, isn't it? And so judgment is typically looked at as judgment for evil, but there's judgment for good. You see, judgment, when it comes for in a bad sense or a negative sense, that would involve condemnation. Okay, but then there's judgments that are for a good sense, and then that involves judgment in, like an evaluation. You see, when a judge sits on the bench and attorneys present a case to him, now he has got to judge the information. What's he doing? He's evaluating it. He evaluates the accusations, he evaluates the defenses, and then he makes a determination based on the laws of the land. And so it is that God judges us. He evaluates based on the law that is his word. And so God is good. Many years ago, a seminary student and his wife had come to the end of their resources. This was many, many years ago. You'll understand why I stress the many. They arrived at church one Sunday with only a nickel between them. And in those days, that was just enough to buy a loaf of stale bread. And the conscientious young man had a hard time parting with his last coin. But the moment he dropped it in the offering plate, his heart was glad, for he knew that God would provide. After that service, a man came up to him, shook his hand, and as he spoke with him, he gave him a $5 bill. And the man asked the one receiving it asked the man giving it, why did you do that? And he said, the Lord just seemed to whisper in my heart that you were in need. So please take the money as coming from the Lord. God had supplied his need and honored him with their trust in him. You know, God still works in this way. Now that was a nickel for even a stale loaf of bread. How many years ago was that? Okay. And I could have updated that and said, you know, they had 75 cents. But I read it like it was because I'm coming to a more current illustration. It was actually Monica, who was in Bible college down in Jacksonville, Florida, at Trinity Baptist College. And they had a missionary speaker, and they took up a missionary offering. And the money that she had was what she needed to do her laundry for that week. And she struggled with it. She knew that the offering plate was going to be coming and she should give it. But at the same time, she knew that was her laundry money. And she knew she had laundry that needed to be done. But when the plate came by, she put it in. Well, the next day when she went to her campus job in the kitchen, the operator of the kitchen, who I don't remember his first name, but he was known as Brother Sass, he called in the staff and he said, I want you to know that the laundry facilities that we use for the kitchen, you students that work here, you may use those facilities free. Okay. See, God still works. Whether it be long enough ago to be a nickel for a stale loaf of bread, it's getting pretty long ago with the other illustration too. but God still works. It's Nahum who recorded, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust him. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. He's not a weak defender. He is not a weak provider. Now you notice in both of those illustrations, one which we know personally, the other which I read in a book, nevertheless, both of them involved obedience on the part of what the Lord was prompting the individual to do. Now, it will not always involve what goes in an offering plate. There are many additional things that the Lord prompts us as his children in doing. And it's only when we do that we see the goodness of the Lord to provide. Psalm 119, we're in 34. I'm going to turn to Psalm 119. It's in Psalm 119 and verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. David, the psalmist, proclaimed of God that he was good. But you see, it's one thing to claim that God is good, and it's another one to believe that he does good. And it isn't just a matter of he does good to others. David was referring to himself. And through it, he said, teach me thy statutes. You see, it's in how the Lord works in our lives and what he does in our lives that we learn his word. Brother Dale preached a great message on Sunday afternoon involving music. But I asked a question now, why do Christians sing? I've known some Christians who don't sing, didn't sing, okay? I've known them in the past, and therefore I say didn't. They're still living, so, and unless they change their ways, they're still not singing. We're standing up, the whole church is singing. We're leading singing, and here's an individual who just stands with a book, never sings. I mean, it wasn't that he didn't sing out loud. He just never sang. Why do Christians sing? Why is singing such a large part of our worship? I believe it is because, you see, songs, we sing about our testimony. Those songs that we sing about the Lord saving us and what the Lord has done or is doing for us. And then there's songs that we sing that give Him praise. And so many songs that give praise to God. And you can sing your praise. Most people would be very intimidated to even sitting, let alone stand up in a service and verbally praise God. But they can sing. And they can sing their praise. And then there's songs that proclaim about God's goodness and greatness and about His attributes and all that He is. And again, and you know, within a church, have you ever noticed there's one or two, or depending on the size church, maybe three pastors, but many people sitting in the pews? Okay, that just seems to be the way it is. Most aren't going to stand up and proclaim about God. But every one of us can proclaim about Him when we sing those songs that proclaim about God's greatness. It's in Psalm 145, still in the Psalms, Psalm 145 and verse 7. They shall abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness and shall sing of thy righteousness. Abundantly utter the memory of thy great goodness. We think back. You know, a lot of times when people give a testimony, what they do is they give a testimony of when they got saved. It may have been 25, 45 years ago. But the memory of God's goodness to save them. Okay? And then we sing of His righteousness. We sing about God's righteousness. Yes, singing is a large part of our worship. It's in Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 7 that says, I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praises of the Lord according to all that the Lord hath bestowed on us and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, the goodness of God to the house of Israel. God is good. He's good in His protection. He's good in His provisions. He's good in His withholdings and all of those things that I enumerated in the beginning. Now, if you think differently, then consider your life. Okay? If you've got it bad, it could be worse. Okay. There was a lady that I ministered to at one time. Her name was Co. And she was dying of cancer. I visited her weekly. And as I visited her, she consistently thanked God for His grace. And she saw her condition as less worse than others. She was dying of cancer. By this point, her hair had thinned severely. She was weakened to eventually the point of being emaciated. She couldn't do anything more than lay on the sofa. Her husband would help her get to a bed at night. And but she thanked God for His grace and saw her condition as less worse than others. She was the exception. For all too many Christians All they know to do is whine and complain. But you know why she could say what she said? Because she loved the Lord and lived for Him and was obedient to Him. But you may not have learned that from her in just one or even two visits. That kind of information is opened and given from the heart as a rapport is established, as a relationship is established. And even though I was her pastor, now her condition was of such that a new relationship had to be developed. Mm-hmm. And that was one within her condition. Well, she went to be with the Lord, and it was an encouragement to have known Cole. God is a blessing. Psalm 3 and verse 8, salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 24, verse 5, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. I remember when we first, it was a high school play of Fiddler on the Roof, okay? And Tevye, that's, you know, I don't know a whole lot, I don't remember a whole lot, but Tevye was the main one, okay? And he would sing and talk about God's blessings. God's blessing. We seek God's blessings, you know, and we do. But you see, God's blessing is not some, what I want to say, it's not just some imaginary thing that's out there. The blessings of God have substance to it. It may be the substance of a heart filled with goodness, such as was true in Ko's case. God's blessing was her heart filled with gratitude for her condition. I don't know if I could say such. But you see, we won't have that kind of grace until that time comes. You get that kind of grace when you need it. But I think and I wonder, and I have to indeed assume that when the time came, God would give that kind of grace.
Amen.
He shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of, here it is, his salvation. Now, this is why we say, do you know you're saved? Do you know you're saved? If you say, I hope so, I think so, I believe maybe, won't make it. The blessings from the Lord and the righteousness from God of your salvation. You say, well, I'm going to take care of that in the future, and you might die first. And we'll all file by. And now, see, I'm starting to walk. We'll all file by, and we'll look in. Oh, he was such a cantankerous guy. Oh, nobody would say that. No, they wouldn't, out of respect. But will they file by and remember the God of your salvation? Psalm 68, verse 19, blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. There's that salvation thing again. Do you see that? You just can't get around that salvation aspect. We want to blame God for this thing that happens and that thing that happens. But listen, did he save you? You complaining about the salvation he gave you? You complaining about the forgiveness of sin? You complaining about keeping you from hell? Well, no, we don't complain about that. I guess not. He daily loadeth us with benefits. You know, and I'll tell you, I don't always feel loaded up. Okay? I don't always feel loaded with benefits. That's why I need to read the Bible. Okay? Because it's when I read the Bible that I'm reminded of what God says and that I am loaded with His benefits. It's one of the reasons we sing songs like Count Your Many Blessings, because it reminds me that I have many blessings, because I don't always feel blessed. Now, I know different, but see, we live so much by how we feel. And listen, don't be afraid of feelings. You know, us fundamental Baptists, we really can come on pretty strong against the Pentecostals who go so much by feeling. And, but you know, there's God, you know, God made us. And you know, He made us with emotions. Yeah. God created us with feelings. It's just a matter of having the feelings in the right place, in the right order, and coming from the right thing. Well, greed, G-R-E-E-D, greed always works against blessings. Gratitude will increase our blessings. Greedy people are never satisfied. They're always content because they always want something more. Without a right, loving relationship to God, we'll miss out on everything that He is doing. We need to get our eyes on Christ so we can see Him and not our circumstances. Now, that preach is good, but it lives more difficultly. But that doesn't make it any less true. Doesn't make it any less true. And it's something we need to be reminded about. But and so it takes determination and effort to be sure. Now, I said the song that we're going to sing, Savior Like a Shepherd Lead Us. There was a gospel songwriter back in the day of D.L. Moody, the evangelist. His name was Ira Sankey. And he was traveling on a Delaware River steamboat. And he was recognized by some of the people on the steamboat because they had seen his picture in newspapers with the evangelist as his song leader. And so he was asked, would you sing one of your own compositions, Brother Sankey? And he said, well, I prefer to sing the song by William Bradbury, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. And he suggested that everyone join with him in the singing. One of the stanzas that we sang began, we are thine, do thou befriend us, be the guardian of our way. When he finished the song, a man stepped out of the shadows and he asked, were you in the Union Army, Mr. Sankey? Yes, I joined up in 1860. Did you ever do guard duty in Maryland about 1862? And Sankey thought, and he said, yes, I did. And this man said, well, Mr. Sankey, I was in the Confederate Army. And I saw you one night at Sharpsburg. You were wearing your blue uniform and I had you in my gun sight as you stood in the full of moonlight. And just as I was about ready to pull the trigger, you began to sing this song. And that was a song my mother often sang. And I knew that you were a Christian. And I couldn't shoot you. And gratefully, Mr. Sankey embraced the man. Because you see, sometime God blesses in unusual circumstances. But more often than the unusual, it's in the ordinary events that he steers us, like a car is steered through a maze of obstacles. So the Lord steers us, and we may not always be aware of how he's leading. But if we walk with him and talk with him, we'll know the reality of his work in our life. Father in heaven, grant us, I pray, the presence of your Spirit. Grant to us, dear Father,